Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our epistle lesson written in the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning at verse 12. Let us rise for the reading of the text. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, I'll mention to those of you who are here for the first time today something that we've been talking about here in St. Timothy for the past couple of months. And that is that over these last couple of months, as we've read through the epistle to the Ephesians in several places, God the Holy Spirit has revealed to us this cosmic action of God. And by cosmic, we mean that something from outside of this time, outside of this place. The cosmic action of God to save lost and wandering mankind. Through Paul's epistle to the Ephesians and then James' general epistle, we're reminded again and again that we're not here by accident. That we are here as believers because of God's powerful working in this world through the means of grace, through his word and sacrament. And that the faith that he works in us, in turn, works also in our lives to accomplish his good and gracious will, including those times when we're able to speak to others of the hope that we have in Christ. And so it is with little Isaiah's baptism this morning. Christ himself has come to us, he tells us, through the water connected with his word, and has joined himself to Isaiah with his death and his resurrection. And in the Trinitarian invocation, you know, while we begin the service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we remind ourselves also that Christ has come to us in our baptism so that we share in his death for our sins, in the resurrection unto eternal life, and in his resurrection by which we are declared righteous and innocent before God. Now, in our text for today, Paul reminds us that this great, sweeping, cosmic conflict that encompasses the casting down of Satan, the giving, preservation, and fulfillment of the promise all through Old Testament history and down through the ages, the growth of the church over the last two millennia, that huge thing, well, it plays out in the seemingly minor daily events of his people. Paul points out that even in the small scale of his life, and what we might say is his misfortune in being in prison, well, God sees to it that Christ is preached. That is the important thing, he says. It's important in relation to what? Well, it's certainly important in proportion or in relation to Paul's persecution, his imprisonment, being in chains. It's important in comparison with the selfish, self-serving, and ambitious behavior of other preachers. Without food, we know nobody can eat. Without water, nobody can drink. And without Christ being proclaimed, no one is brought to faith. No one is personally reconciled to God. If Christ were not preached, everybody would be left out of heaven. And that makes it so very important as eating and drinking, and more so, that Christ be preached, proclaimed, shared, witnessed to, however we want to put it. And where he is preached, the scriptures tell us, where the gospel is proclaimed, there God accomplishes his gracious will among human beings. By his gracious will, you've come to know of the forgiveness of all of your sins. What do people think about Christianity? I hear all sorts of crazy things, especially when people out in the community find out I'm a pastor. What do they immediately assume? I'm against sin. And they better not say any bad words, because these ears are so pure. They've never heard anything, any of those words. That's what they think Christians are. Well, to preach Christ is to preach that there's forgiveness. Even though the Bible does say God will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Well, he didn't. But remember, he held Christ guilty in our behalf so that there would be forgiveness for us. Somewhere in your life, this word has been proclaimed. That's why you've come to know him. Maybe starting as young as Isaiah, when you were washed of your sins because you were connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's word is powerful. As he says in Isaiah 55, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. We call this the sufficiency of Scripture, that God, the Holy Spirit, is able to create faith where and when he will by the power of his word, by the preaching of Christ as Savior. And one of the things we run into over and over again in the New Testament is the emphasis upon the importance of the gospel to bring people to faith. Finally, summarizing as Paul does in one place, in Romans 10, 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now that's really counterintuitive, isn't it? We tend to think that to change somebody's mind, we need persuasive argument. We need somebody who's really clever. We need somebody who has winning ways. We need somebody who, through wisdom and through excellent communication, reaches in and takes hold of the human heart and convinces this person that Christ is in fact their Savior. But actually, the scripture tells us that the power does not lie in our personality or persuasiveness, but in the word itself. Because we're born dead in our transgressions and sins. So you might as well be preaching to a corpse, spiritually speaking. You need a word that, like the word of Christ to the young man at Nain, remember he said, "Young man, I say unto you, arise." Well, that wasn't so persuasive that the corpse on the bier decided that he was going to listen to what Jesus said and decide in favor of Jesus' proposition. The power was in the word of Christ himself. And so it is that Paul says also with his preaching, writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's what is important, that Christ, our Savior from sin, is proclaimed, offered, preached, given to us. We tend to make sure also that it's up to us to make sure that there are occasions for the teaching of the word. And, you know, I'd have to say, yeah, we should do what we can. We should all know how to express the gospel as we're called to do in whatever our situation in life may be. And as we have gifts, you know, some of us are so tongue-tied, man, that's not an easy thing to do. Some of us are so glib that it's not a problem at all. 25 words or less? How about 2,500? I could talk all day long about Jesus. But whatever opportunities we have, we give people an answer when they ask us what reason we have for the hope that is ours. But as we've seen in the last few weeks, the conduct of this cosmic war is in God's hands, not ours. It isn't as though the private soldier had to decide how World War II was to be fought. And so Paul does not, in this text today, point to his strategic thought in getting himself arrested and sent off to Rome. Instead, he talks about what in God's providence happened to him. "And now I want you to know, brothers," he says, "that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." More courageously and fearlessly. Because of what happened to Paul, not because of his great planning, the palace guard and others realize that Paul's not just another criminal. And think of what that must be like as he's under house arrest, and evidently there were guards there taken from that detachment connected with the palace. And, okay, they're just standing there to make sure he doesn't run off. And in the meantime, wow, what an education they receive as Paul proclaims Christ. And boy, do they have something to talk about when they go home or when they go back to the barracks, because they're going to talk about Christ. And then more people came to hear him as a result, and they tell others and so on, all because of what happened to Paul. How many of us came to know Christ because of skillful machinations, skillful working of the staff at the local congregation? And how many of us rather came to know Christ, well, maybe because we were baptized and brought up in a Christian home, for sure. That wasn't the way it was with my family. Our dentist got my dad where he couldn't talk back. Old Dr. Krumschroeder. And if my dad hadn't looked for the cheapest dentist in Imperial Beach, somebody who would share professional fees, so my dad was a doctor, he'd take care of his family. Dr. Krumschroeder was a dentist, he'd take care of our teeth. Who knows, if that hadn't happened to us. And as I've said, two of his fillings stayed in, but what happened to me was not great dental care, but what happened to me was way, way, way more important. Our family came to know of the love of Christ for us. And Paul says that not only his chains worked to give him opportunities to proclaim the gospel to others, but the courage that he showed and the respect that he received and his continued safety and all of these things worked together to encourage other Christians to be brave and courageous themselves. And sad to say, there were even some who grew envious of Paul's success. And out of envy and selfishness, he says, they worked harder, but they were working to make sure that they were teaching. And in fact, some actually worked really hard because they thought it would get Paul in more trouble. Boy, that's perverse. That's backwards. And Paul comments on that. He says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here. Notice, again, the reference to what God has accomplished. Not what he's decided to do, but that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But in spite of all that, it doesn't faze Paul because he sees that God's divine hand of providence is there also in these troubles that he's going through. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Now, how about us? Do we sometimes feel that the success of Christ's kingdom depends upon us? Well, I'm not suggesting that you zip your lips where Christ is concerned. I'm not suggesting that you throw up your hands or you sit on your feet, hands, so to speak. You know, our evangelism committee here, our synodical evangelism committee, meet together and consider how to spread the word. But, you know, it's easy to get frustrated. We've canvassed, we've advertised, we've trained, we've invited, we've encouraged one another in witnessing. So many of the things that we decide to do, well, we can't yet see the fruit from them. The important thing is to make sure that Christ is preached. Maybe what we need is a persecution. That worked for Paul. Maybe we need to realize that God's word, Christ is preached, sometimes because of what God in his providence permits to happen that isn't necessarily so great. You know, Paul was an apostle sent by Christ himself to be a teacher of the church and a preacher of the gospel, and we don't all have that vocation. When I go to visit my doctor, I do want him to ask me my history and to make a diagnosis. I'm not so sure that I want him to tell me about his religion. And yet, if I were a doctor and somebody asked, well, I think of Dr. Krumschroeder, my dad asked, and I think that the first thing Dr. Krumschroeder said before I gave the answer was, open? And then he told him. Even though Paul tells us that he worked harder than others, he says it was still God working through him that brought people from death to life and built the kingdom. God is the one also, remember, who sees to it that Christ is preached, even to the point of making things happen to us, not just for us. We all once lived, Paul reminded the Ephesians, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Who stepped in? God did. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And this is true even if we, like Paul, end up being persecuted for the truth. Because this is the cosmic battle that it is, because the devil does send his deceits out into the world, it's not a surprise that he does his best to keep the gospel from being proclaimed. This ranges from frank oppression of the believers, as it is in the Muslim and the communist parts of the world, where the worship of Christ is sometimes tolerated. But what is not? Telling others about Christ. Christ being proclaimed. Sometimes it's as obvious as that. Sometimes it's just interference with the gospel. In our country, there's a big campaign, a big issue going on right now about a government decree that those who are opposed to certain practices, including abortifacients, early abortions, are nevertheless going to be required to pay for them. And that's significant. But I would also point out, even more significant than that, is the argument that outside of what we say in church, our religious faith is not protected. Because that principle reaches far beyond contraception and abortion and those things to also the preaching of the gospel. I remember in the state of Washington when the state decided that schools were all secular, even if they were church schools. And we had to fight that. They fought it also in Ohio, went all the way to the Supreme Court back in the 70s. Yeah, it can be that we too face very subtle forms of oppression that prevent the gospel from being preached. Paul was happy the gospel was being preached. I don't think any of us would have liked to have lived like he did. But the important thing is that even these situations create an opportunity for us to preach Christ. You know, we have the hot button issues of our day. And as I talked about earlier, what is it that people think about Christians? Is it just that we want to point out that things are wrong? Well, we have to uphold right and wrong. But what's the important thing? To point out also that Christ has come to redeem us all. To all who confess their sins, there's only one answer. You are forgiven. That's what it means to preach Christ. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ the forgiveness of all your sins. David and Carla, you're going to sit with this formerly reprobate little one who is now a child of God, and you're going to remind him over and over again that he too is forgiven. That's preaching Christ. This word of the gospel is the cosmic power rooted beyond our time and our world. It is the great sword of the Spirit, the word of God that kills death and brings to life. And brings life and salvation to light. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.